Hello there, it's me, Smeagol. We just want to thank you for listening to Life's...
Gollum,
it's not your podcast, it's my podcast. It's my precious. Life's a Binge is my precious.
All right, here we go.
What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch some TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options than I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life's a Binge. I am Jared.
I am BJ.
And I'm Rich.
And we want to thank you out there for listening, and a big shout-out to Smeagol for giving us a little intro there. Thanks, Smeagol, slash Gollum.
Thanks. He kind of scares me a little
dropping
bit.
It in the studio and just,
making,
you know,
some tatches.
Smacking some fish on the ground and shouting out Life's a Binge. It was weird, but hey, whatever. We're glad to have him. Thanks out there for the listeners. You guys are awesome. We wouldn't be here without you. I mean, we would be, but we would be talking to ourselves, and that's just no fun.
Literal echo chamber.
That's right. A what now?
A literal echo chamber.
Oh, I failed. Do it again.
A literal echo chamber.
Echo. Echo.
Echo. Yay, new toys.
And the bunny man.
So dumb. Anyway, it's not dumb. It's exciting.
No, it's
And our shout out to patreon.com/lifesabinge. All of our patrons, you guys are awesomes. Awesome possums. David, Tony, Mike, Jess, Kathy, you guys are rad.
Ooh.
And BJ. BJ as
well. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are
all on the same team.
And big shout out to Maddie for letting us borrow this mixing board, which is solving our problems. Mostly.
Yeah, for sure.
It sounds real good.
Yeah.
There's a little hiccups here and there that I have to get used to because I'm not used to this, but it's way better than it was before and it's fantastic. So,
dude, it's stepping up to the plate.
That's right.
I don't know if it's the same board, but that is the exact board that showed up halfway through my little stint at SeaWorld at the Dolphin Show.
I was so
the exact same board.
I was so excited because they at Sea Lion they used to like adjust the tone and stuff, so you could start talking to sound like this or like go up and sound like a chipmunk. But yeah, I can't do it on here, and it kind of bummed me out because I wanted to like drop you guys down like four octaves in the middle of recording, but I can't do it. But it does a lot. It does a lot more. Like I can change the highs and lows, and like if there's white noise, I can fuzz that out. So it's pretty cool. So big shout out to Maddie from What Do I Know.
Thanks, Matt.
First episode.
Dude, it's so clean sounding.
Letting us borrow this kick-ass board.
Yeah.
And then there's the social media stuff. Life's a Binge on all social media. Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, all that good stuff.
That's all.
Emails at lifesabinge@gmail.com.
Vines.
No, not
Life's a Binge Vines.
And what else? Oh, 619-438-0532. Yeah, leave us a voicemail. We got a couple of those today, so it's exciting. Oh. And they're not from who you think they'd be from.
Right on.
So, yeah.
You might need to record a new drop.
Step up your game, Mr. Man. But with that being said, let's go ahead and start the show. So take a breath with us right now.
Life's a Binge! Bow, 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 bow.
Wow. Right?
What's up?
What's up?
What's
What is up, my dudes?
Happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
That's what I'm still saying.
Fat. Still the weekend.
Feeling fat.
I know. I got on the scale. I was like, oh, boo.
What have I done to myself?
I didn't do that.
I was pleasantly surprised. I did not, like, eat myself into, like,
a high stupor. Score.
Right. I was like, I had a plate at my mother-in-law's house, and then we went over to my brother's and, like, hung out there. And he, like, right when we got there, he's, like, serving up the food. And I was like, well, I have to try the turkey. And I was like, I had a little bit of turkey and a little bit of green beans because they didn't have those at Joint. And I was like, just had a little bit. And I was like, all right, I did pretty good. I didn't have a piece of pie until 2 days ago.
That's terrible.
So you're not on Thanksgiving?
Nope.
That's
a crime. Well, I didn't have pie.
I'm telling you.
I had cake.
Ooh.
German chocolate cake that my mom makes, which is so good.
Is that like your Thanksgiving
yeah.
tradition?
That's the treat that she makes for my dad and I.
That's coconut.
Any
coconut,
other time of the
right?
year.
Yeah, it's like yeah, coconut, it's sugar, like frosting,
coconut sugar
with like a,
frosting.
A light chocolate
yeah,
cake.
Yeah, that's yeah. my jam. Yeah, yeah, I like.
But
I like
she made
that.
It with a cheesecake base this time, too.
Oh, pizza. Man, stupid. Big glass.
Thanks, Mom.
Big glass of milk with that.
It's fantastic. Just,
and then a cuddle. Oh, good.
But yeah, that was, I mean, obviously yes. we haven't recorded since before Thanksgiving, so that's kind of really the big thing that we all, I'm assuming, did.
In the last week, for sure.
Yeah. So, like I said, I kind of mentioned it. That's what I did. We did her mom's house in the morning and then went over to my brother's house afterwards. And, yeah, it was a super great. I love, my family and her family are all here, so, like, it was weird. I was talking to my buddy at work. I was like, when do we start
not going? When you have kids. if you're having kids, that's when you get to be like, hey, so we're going to do this
we're
this
gonna
year.
We're going to stay at our house.
You have to host or...
Well, not only that, but like, okay, so I see my family all the time. They know right. that I love them, and I see them all the time. Mm-hmm. But like, I was thinking about it this Christmas. Like, it's going to be our first Christmas in this house all by ourselves for the first time, because mm-hmm. like before we were at our mom's and all that stuff. Right. So like, it's our very first Christmas all by ourselves. And the kids... that aren't ours, but like the kids of the family, they're going to wake up and they do Christmas morning and stuff and they want to see the family. And it's like, okay, that's great.
Yeah.
But I get two guaranteed days off a year. One's Thanksgiving, one's Christmas. I want to sleep in with my wife and wake up when we wake up and do Christmas at our house. And then maybe we'll cruise over for dinner somewhere. But in the past, it's been wake up.
Immediately.
Now, wake up immediately, early AF. And so that way you can do whatever you're going to do in your privacy of your own home, have breakfast, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, now where are we going to go? But this year, since we're all by ourselves, if we want to see her mom, instead of waking up and going into the house and saying, hey, Joanne, mm-hmm. it's going to be wake up here, do Christmas here, go to her mom's house. And then we want to go to my dad's house. And then we want to go to my brother's house for like the rest of my, it's like, when do we have to not do that anymore?
And
when can we just be like,
we'll see you guys
next year.
Yeah.
We're going to stay home all day.
Once
maybe
you start
we'll
doing
cruise.
It, you won't stop.
Is that what you do?
So here's what we do, because, and it's easier for us because our families are separated by great distances and we don't live where either of them are.
Right.
So my family is in the San Francisco Bay Area and her family is in Moore Park, which is near Ventura, which is near, if you know LA area at all, it's like an hour north of LA. So
home of Moore Park College where they have the animals training.
Exactly. That's exactly right. That's where Lindsay almost went and she wanted to go there. But we can't do one holiday.
Right.
With both families. Like, it's just not possible. I mean, it's possible.
You
but
could. It'd be a lot of driving.
It would be the worst thing in the world.
Exactly.
So we, quite brilliantly, a few years ago decided that we would do... So we've been switching off since we started dating.
Right.
And then we decided after a few years, like, you know what? Wouldn't it be great if we had a year off for, like, 1 year we just stayed here for both holidays?
Right.
And the first time we did that, we're like, I want to do this all the time. I want to be here. Like, I love my family and I love her family. I love being with them for holidays. But like you said, being able to sleep in, like, on Christmas Day... Get up at your leisure, start a fire, open presents slowly, and just have the two of you.
Breakfast, coffee, and
it is the best freaking thing.
So, are there any young people in the family on either side?
Like little
kids, like next generation.
There's some little kids that my cousins have, but they all live in LA, so they do their own thing. Because that's the problem is that like my grandparents are gone, so we don't have like that big sort of giant family gathering anymore.
Right?
Because people kind of splintered off and do their own thing. And I feel like if there were more of like a cohesive, like, let's have all the littles are here and we get them presents and all that stuff, then maybe we'd all be more inclined to go to one place, but that's just not the case. And her sister's the closest to being a new mom that's like close within the circle. So I'm sure once she has kids, she'll want us up there for like everything. But in the meantime, Try it once and you won't
drive all day, like spend all day driving.
Yeah, because you got to get from spot to spot.
Last year we hung out at her mom's house in the morning because that's where we were hanging out at the mom's house. Mm-hmm. And then we went from there to my dad's house, who lives in Alpine, which is not close, but it's not far.
It's like 20 minutes away in Lakeside. Okay,
so we're from Lakeside to Alpine, which is about 30 minutes. And then from there, we went to her aunt's house in Encinitas.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Which
is about an hour away from Alpine.
Oh, no.
And then from there, we came back home, back down, not home, went to my brother's house and spent the rest of the evening there. So that's four stops.
Where's your brother's house?
Back in El Cajon.
In one day.
Okay. Four stops in one day.
That means
no drinking until the last stop.
Right. So. Well, not in, but let's just like
BJ,
well,
BJ like, with the important points.
Well, it's just like
depending on your family, like, it might be a necessity,
right? But it's like, when do we not have to do that all day? I was just like, let's just not go.
Yeah,
And be like, if you want, we're going to be home. If you want to make a trip, come down.
Yeah.
Come, we're here. Doors open. But.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's hard. It's hard.
Yeah, we've been dealing with that for 10 years, 10 right. long years, and with family.
Mm-hmm.
Getting together with my brother, and then my dad will come over. And so, like, that's the family thing. And then her mom's house with her sister and her brother. And they have the little kids, too.
Right.
So some of that. And they're the youngest kids right now. So.
Right.
A lot of that is...
And it's fun to see them and give them gifts and stuff, but it's like...
The kids
also...
will wait it out. Like, I mean, they'll like... Not wait it out. It will affect it. It'll add more weight to that decision to see them. So Tony's kids are all older now. So we still don't want to see everybody, but I got screwed out. I didn't have any of them on Thanksgiving this year. We did nothing.
Like, you're not seeing
you stayed at home and stars
in your eyes. I had to work all day. Right. I had to work all day. And so... So all through the nice visiting time.
Oh, yeah.
So by the time I got home, it was like 8 o'clock. So like,
let's just hang out here.
Yeah. So she got some leftovers from her mom. And it was her mom's birthday too. So I really wanted to go to that and wish her a happy birthday and see the little ones. Because, you know, the little ones, they love me.
They're that's what makes it like, well, especially like Christmas. Like, seeing the littles on Christmas is like, okay, this is great.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my God, Santa came.
Right. And then you're like,
so cool.
And then you hand them anything that's in a box, and you're like, you're going to love this for the next 30 seconds until you open the next one.
Right.
But this is the one I gave you.
Which is fine, because you only get to see them that day anyway, so you're just really there for that initial reaction of like, yeah.
Well, and I always have a contest with like the rest of the... this isn't a real thing. This is just in my head.
Right.
I have a contest in my head that's like, I'm going to give the nieces and nephews the best present.
The best present.
And when it's all said and done, whichever one they go for at
Uncle
the end.
The best.
No, they don't know who would get you there.
Oh,
they have no idea.
Oh, is
but
it like
a
Secret Santa type thing?
No, they know, but like they... As soon as it's open, they have no.
Yeah,
they don't.
You forget.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But like, it's like, okay, all the presents are done and open. And then they're like, ooh, they're going to go grab. Ooh, they grab the car. Boom.
Yeah, whatever gets played with for the rest of the day.
Right. That's what I'm like, I win.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I always want to give my niece and nephew the loudest gift and then watch that. Watch the parents go, mother.
You
sneaky.
That is horrible.
Have fun with that.
That's brilliant.
Bang, 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 bang.
I love it.
But also, in the vein of the holidays and stuff, I put up Christmas lights today. And Rich is not happy about it.
It's not that I'm not. Look, all right. We have a problem.
It is November 25th right
in
now.
In this country. The holidays do not get their due. Like, you shouldn't be putting up. And my original rule was, when it's December.
Mm-hmm.
Once December hits, Christmas lights and stuff is fair game.
But that's 24-5, technically. If you keep them up till New Year's, it's 30 days of goodness.
I mean, you could leave them up. Yeah, leave them up through the new year. That's fine. And there is of course, a limit on that. Like, don't have them up in February. Like, don't be that guy.
31 days.
And the 12 days of Christmas goes to the 5th or 6th.
Yeah.
Is it plenty of time?
It's plenty of time.
Is it?
It is. Give Thanksgiving its due.
I had Thanksgiving.
Dude, you know, Thanksgiving.
But you haven't finished your leftovers yet.
I started putting up my Halloween decorations
and that
in
should
September.
Be the rule.
I started decorating for Halloween in September.
You did not.
Yeah.
Well, you had a lot, though.
Well, yeah. So?
Well, and then you have a household that's Halloween, but crazy. About Halloween,
right, so. But I also love Christmas. So what's the why are you trying to slam down my joy?
I'm not slamming down your joy.
But here's a
I'm just saying.
Here's a
too soon.
A point that Rich would appreciate in that same vein is that literally on Thanksgiving, Santa Claus is saying Happy Thanks or saying Merry Christmas,
right?
And then parents are like, and Thanksgiving, I'm like, oh yeah, and Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving right now.
Like, you're
it's
at,
on Thanksgiving.
You're on Thanksgiving. You're saying birthday. That is, I can't abide that.
Yeah, it's
that
tough.
Is not okay.
Yeah.
The end of the Macy's parade. Is
I haven't
Santa.
Even had a piece of turkey yet.
Yeah. Yes.
Ho, ho, ho.
It's the worst.
And happy Thanksgiving. I'm taking over this holiday. Ho, ho, ho.
Did you guys watch the parade?
I watched
I did not.
Some of
I heard
it.
There
yeah.
was a same-sex kiss that was revolutionary,
oh, really?
But like
yeah.
first
oh,
time.
Oh, from Broadway, from the prom?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I watched it.
Oh.
No biggie.
Our friend.
I was there.
friend of the show, John Sangster, he was the one who,
oh, yeah.
who pointed that out to
Johnny
us.
Johnny Sang. So.
Right on.
I was not impressed with any of the music. Because I always turn it on. Because the musicals do the very beginning.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, because they are right in front of me. And that's where the parade has to go by. So they can't be like singing and dancing when there's a Snoopy float coming right. to plow down. So they always do the Broadway stuff first, and then the parade gets going. So you have to wake up and turn it on at 9, which isn't a problem for me anymore because I wake up every day at freaking 6 o'clock.
No matter what.
So it's like, yeah. And so same. I just turned it on to be on while I was drinking coffee or whatever, and I was like, oh, Broadway stuff. And I just,
there's a meh and then a meh.
It just was like, I wasn't impressed with it. I was like, whatever.
I skipped by it for like half a second. I'm like, oh, the parade.
Yeah. Meh. The end.
Football's on, right?
Right. Yep.
The Bears.
Not that
Bears.
That game was crazy exciting in the first half or anything.
Well, the first two games were like boring until the second half.
Yeah.
And then the last game, which is supposed to be a blowout, I'm a Falcons fan, was like, great. Like, they couldn't do anything.
That was supposed to be a shootout. Yeah, I was bummed too.
But, yeah, so it being November 25th, and you give me crap. My lights are up, and then you think only a little you bit think of it's no good.
I mean, you did a good job.
So. I'm not playing Christmas music yet.
No, and that's fine. That's what makes it acceptable.
Okay.
If you had to stand out on the lawn,
yourself a merry little Christmas. It's after Thanksgiving, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's the... Barely. Yeah.
Tis the season.
Well, it's the most. I think we've talked about this before. It's because the most joyful time of the year, and people are nicer, and like
Christmas creeps up, and the shopping is creeping up closer and closer. Like Walmart, we drove past a Walmart on my way to on our way to my uncle's house for Thanksgiving dinner, and it was open, and people were buying shit. And I'm like, hold on, you have not had Thanksgiving dinner yet. Like,
oh yeah,
like come on. And there's people in the store, like they don't want to be there.
JCPenney was like, Black Friday deals starting at 2 p.m.
Saw that on TV, and I'm like, wait, JCPenney's still around?
But I was like, 2 p.m.?
Yeah, right? That's crazy.
Black Friday used to be you have to stay up until like 5 when the door would open at 5 a.m. And you had to like hopefully get there.
Right.
And now they're like,
then it went to 2 midnight, p.m. You're like,
2 p.m. on Thanksgiving? Like, that's whack.
No way.
Yeah.
Not
for me.
In the spirit of overly commercializing Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was a really sweet video put out by some church in North Carolina, I think. I don't know if you guys saw it.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one.
I freaking loved that so much.
Well, what happened?
So the guy is like, it's at Christmas time, and the guy wakes up. And first of all, he wakes up and he's wrapped in Christmas wrap.
Okay.
And he's like, rips the present. Oh my God, I'm awake. You know, and it's just this whole like theme of like appreciating what you have. And he's like, I can't believe this is awesome.
Yeah.
And his kids run in and they're like, he unwraps them and like, oh my God, I have these beautiful kids.
So everyone's wrapped up in
and they just everything. And he's like, oh my God, this like we have electricity turns on and off. I can't believe it. And he goes out to his car. Oh my God, I have a car. We have a car. Yeah. And it's just like, it was great. It's this whole message of like,
be thankful for what you have.
You have a lot of shit and appreciate it. Yeah. And you know, the spirit of the holidays isn't like,
give me that TV.
Yeah. What's the newest right?
I need to save $7.99 on this TV. Get out of my way. Oh, yeah.
People causing literal violence for a deal to buy something you weren't probably going to buy
And that's what, like, that's why I'm like, dude, put the lights up. Turn your Christmas music on. Like, whatever. Yeah. Like, people are happy. It, like, the holidays, people are genuinely nicer for like 1 month out of the year. And I said it before on the show. I was like, maybe just take that feeling and, you know, do it all the time.
That's
but,
the,
but it's
that's
not
crazy.
That's right? the song we sing now at the Dolphin Show is that's the spirit of it. It's like,
oh yeah.
If every day we could give like Christmas, give out love and hope to the world. Sing underneath the mistletoe, I'll give you love and hope, and wherever we may go, and we'll sing. Hey, hey, melakaliki maka. So yeah, I'm with you.
Nice. That was fun.
Did that add anything? did the echo add anything?
Right, hell now, yes, it did.
Now you can
it
have the lights echo. On, Jared. I'm
but
okay
you know,
with it.
Also, what I appreciate, like right around Thanksgiving, and I think you maybe notice it too, is coming home down the 805 in North Park, and they when they string up the lights across the freeway for all things.
Oh yeah, that one. I was talking about the hotel that
the
spells out
the joy on the 8. The joy off the 8.
That's my favorite.
I haven't seen that yet.
I don't think that's on yet.
Is that still there? Because isn't it on the left? Like, as you're going west, isn't it on the left?
I don't drive down that far anymore.
It's on the left.
And
is that
building still there? Because they've remodeled
the Hilton.
Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, of course it's there.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I saw it last year. Yeah. Unless it's changed.
Well, see, maybe so we also always do our Christmas tree and stuff on Thanksgiving at my house.
Right.
And then in El Cajon, or East County anyway, over on the mountain, there's a big bright star that turns on Thanksgiving night. And, like, that's always, like, it's Christmas time for me.
Signal.
It is.
The beacons are lit.
And I still want to find out who operates
you don't know who it's
freaking
from?
Star. Like, it's not a house. It's got to be. I almost want to make a documentary of, like, stupid East County El Cajon, like the star of, because it's been there my whole life.
Go find out.
Yeah, I know. I should just find out.
You got to write that down. That's an excellent.
Fly a drone over.
That's an excellent, excellent piece to kind of
It's like a fun little East County piece, right?
Yeah, exactly. For sure.
Anything else up? Here's something that's up. BJ, you suck at fantasy football, and I'm whooping your ass. You are in first place, and I am in 10th, and you suck, and I'm whooping your ass.
Current score.
I was just talking to Rich. I was like, maybe if Deshaun Watson, I think I have one
scores 56 points.
Yeah. No chance.
Does he play tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
It's tomorrow, yeah.
You got no shot.
But I mean,
they're playing
guy.
The Titans, so he'll like, you have a 1%. Not that Yahoo's accurate, but you have a 1%.
You are
chance
not.
I'm losing in both of my leagues, and it doesn't look good.
The present score in our game is 162-106.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
That's gonna be rough to come back from.
Oh, that's gotta hurt.
Oh, that hurts.
It hurts. And I love it because now you're not as far ahead. That's my song about that. Did you like it? Because I did.
Shit about my guitar, Dick.
That's fantastic.
Yay.
That's what's up.
This just in.
News.
Yeah.
No.
You got something?
Do you?
No.
Oh, sure. You sounded like you wanted to say something. The main thing that I think is the same thing that you're probably going to say.
Maybe. Go for it.
The live-action Lion King trailer came out.
Yay.
And have you seen it, BJ?
Yes.
Okay. And what are your thoughts on it, BJ?
First of all, when they were saying live action, that's kind of misleading.
Yeah.
Correct. Absolutely.
It does look clearly like it looks a lot more like real animals than it does than the animated version.
Sure. Well, of course. Yeah. They make it look, they're supposed to look realistic.
They look very realistic. And so when I heard about it, I was kind of like, what, why?
Yeah.
Like, how?
How's it live action?
Right. Yeah.
There's what no are you people talking about? In the Lion King. Right.
And so with that said, you know, it looked real pretty. Yeah. I mean, it looked very pretty.
Yes.
I don't have the emotional connection to Lion King as a lot of folks do.
Sure.
So,
sure.
So it doesn't affect me as much as I know it has a lot of folks, but there's a couple things going against it. Is that my lack of connection? This is just personally.
Sure. Yeah,
yeah. My lack of connection to it. And Seth Rogen is in it. So.
You like Seth Rogen?
I think he's playing Pumbaa. If I had to guess, that's who I'd say
he's gotta be playing Pumbaa.
I mean, right. I don't know.
That's perfect.
That's the only person that would make sense.
You don't like Seth Rogen?
I think he hates him.
Oh, no.
For no reason other than he doesn't like his smug face and his pretentious manner and
his stupid laugh. Yeah. His stupid laugh. And I think sometimes he just is like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I tell you who I do like a lot more that I used to not like. I was more like, meh. I like Jason Segel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like him.
I like him a lot.
Seth Rogen, I feel more like.
I like Seth Rogen, too.
I like Seth Rogen.
Yeah. I feel Seth Rogen more just kind of shits out something, you know. And
Beyonce.
Like,
who's Donald Glover playing?
You like Beyonce?
Simba.
Oh, that's right. Beyonce.
All Simbas?
I'm assuming only older Simba, but maybe both.
Right. Okay.
Beyonce's playing Simba?
She's playing Nala.
No, Beyonce.
Oh, okay. That's what you were saying. I mean, I was like, what?
No. Donald Glover.
To all the Beyonce fans out there, if she did play Simba, I'd totally be on board with that. That's totally fine.
Right.
No. But they brought back James Earl Jones for Mufasa because there's no way you can replace Mufasa.
Right.
Okay. Because like, first, when I heard that, I was like, well, good. James Earl Jones is doing the voice. Like,
yeah.
Which it really ought to be.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But see, okay. So what are your thoughts on it?
So
you're stoked. Right?
I'm super excited because it looks awesome. I saw The Jungle Book in theaters because I'm like, I really love that story and I think it's going to look beautiful, which is really all I want out of a animated Disney. Like, look and sound good. Yep. That's all I want.
This is the same style, though, right?
Yeah,
the
same style.
Okay.
Same director.
Realistic looking.
Yeah, John Favreau's directing. Yeah. He directed
Book
both.
And Jungle Book wasn't a musical either. Is that right?
It had songs, but it wasn't as heavily musical.
It wasn't
as
it wasn't like, ooh, ooh, ooh,
No, they did that.
That song's in there. Oh, it's Christopher in there. Walken.
Oh, really?
Christopher Walken sings it. I want to be like you.
Really?
And it's wonderful.
It is really good. I mean, the song is fantastic.
Yeah, it was great.
Like, that's a big, that was a big hit over
but
the
like
summer.
But like Bill Murray was Blue in that.
Yeah, he was Blue.
And like there's a brief little moment where he's like, but he's not
yeah,
like.
Yeah, they didn't do like the
it.
Whole thing.
Right, it's not the whole thing. Right.
So some songs, like I've heard. And what does upset me is that the song, because they're going to have to cut some songs, because they're going to do it photoreal. Like, it would be weird if it's a whole musical with, like, right. CGI animals.
Oh, I just can't wait. And they're, like, jumping on ostriches and stuff. Like, come on.
So I'm imagining that they'll only keep, like, the more serious songs. But I've heard that they're going to cut Be Prepared, which is, like, my favorite song. Right? Right. So I don't know.
I
couldn't tell you a name of a song other than
and Jeremy Irons was great as Scar, and he's coming back, but we know.
Here's I think it does look amazing. Like, of course, it looks real
beautiful.
Good.
Here we go.
Well, no, because so they said that they were going to do all these live action remakes, and then they originally said they were just going to do them. Basically straight, and then they're like, eh, we can't do a Disney movie without some music, and then they like started putting music in. Like Cinderella, there's barely any music.
I didn't see that one.
In Cinderella. And then Jungle Book, same thing. A hint of it here and there, a couple songs at most, and then I was like, that was it. And then Beauty and the Beast rolls around, and it's with a full shebang, full song
every number,
dance,
every song
is there.
Yep.
And now they're probably doing it with Aladdin, where it's like full song and dance. It's all there because like that's what people want.
Yeah.
And then Lion King rolls out, and I'm like, ooh, here comes the first teaser of it, and I'm like, man, it looks real good. But all the first thing you hear is
So,
and I'm like, that's the same shit. You're just gonna play the same soundtrack over this thing that's exactly the shot for shot the opening of the other movie. Only now it quote unquote looks real.
Yeah.
Like.
So here's here's the feelings.
Like, I just
the feelings. That
I
want to
love
at.
It, but I can't. I just.
I'm gonna change your mind. I'm gonna change your mind right now.
Because I love Lion King so much.
What's your favorite musical that you've ever seen? Like on stage musical, have you seen?
I don't know.
You have a favorite?
Maybe Wicked.
Something that
like
you've seen
live is probably Wicked.
Something that you've seen multiple
like
times.
Wicked, Lion King.
Were they the exact same every time?
No. A little different. A little different.
So we accept that, like with musicals and with plays, like live things, that we're gonna have different casts.
It's very true.
There's gonna be different takes. You're gonna have little different touches here and there. It's just still essentially the same thing in spirit, but it's gonna be different. But we can't. We don't like that when it comes to movies.
We don't.
And
we
why
don't.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think there's something permanent about it since it's not live.
Right.
Since it's been captured for posterity. Like
this
in
is
a,
the thing.
In a moment,
don't change the thing.
That's the thing, and so I think we're for live stuff, you kind of expect it and want to feel a little bit of a personal interpretation for each thing that you see.
Sure.
So every time you see Cass of Hamilton do something, you know, it might be a little bit different. I dig it.
But they're trying. It's like shot for shot.
Yeah.
But with just like realistic looking animals instead of cartoon animals. And I'm like, but
that's funny.
It's shot for shot.
That was
the
Ernest,
zebra. They're like they're not all bad. In sequence. And like, and then Rafiki does the thing and he wipes the thing and then he holds him. And I'm like, and it's playing the same song from the old version.
Yep.
That was Ernie Scott's complaint. He's like, this is the most unnecessary remake since the shot for shot remake of Psycho.
Like, right.
You got a point.
You got a point. I'm sure I'm going to see it, and I'm sure it's going to look gorgeous, and I'm not going to have any problems with it.
Yeah.
But the only thing I see is Disney going, we can make another $20 million.
Well, not only that, what I'm afraid that they would do is like...
More, way more than that.
Where does it
essentially,
stop?
Well, essentially invalidate the first movie, essentially.
Like, see, and that's where I disagree with you. That'll never be the case.
For a new generation,
he does have a point. We even talked about that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're like, a kid right now, they're going to be like, I want to watch Beauty and the Beast. And they're going to go grab Emma Watson and they're going to put in that movie because that's the one that they saw as a kid and that's the one that they're going to remember.
Right.
Yeah. And we're going to be like, that's not Beauty and the Beast. What are you doing?
And they're going to hate the other one.
And they're going to hate. I don't know. Maybe.
Probably. I'm guessing.
Is it going to be? Because I don't know. I liked Robin Hood, but again, there's the same, I guess, the same style. Like, I didn't have anything new, shiny to compare it to. Uh-huh. Where, like, a kid now, they're going to, like, ooh, let's go see the new Lion King. And they're like, this is computer animation, kids. Look what they can do.
Like, they're
and
kids
it looks so great.
That grew up with the prequels that, like, oh, Star Wars, you mean, like, with Anakin and Padme and Bumble? We're like, no!
No!
Even?
But so, anyway,
right,
I...
That's for you, and I get it.
I don't know. I just, it's like the first time in a while where I'm just like, what's the point? Like, why?
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. Why are you making, why, like, why? It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, Aladdin, sure, because it's a cartoon, you're going to put people in there. Yeah. This is an animal movie about animals. And, like, I'm sure they're going to, are they going to talk?
Yeah.
They have to. They're the only people there. And are their mouths going to move? Because that's not a fucking lion with his mouth moving. Or is it going to be like overdubbed thoughts? Like, you know what I mean? Like, why? If you're going to make it realistic looking.
Now and Jared's then, animated.
Well, if you're going to make it realistic looking and then their mouths are going to move. Like, what's the, like, what do you mean it's real? I don't know. But then, but Baloo talked.
No, calling it live action is
Baloo talked and it was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just, I don't know. I just
I didn't see the new line, the new Jungle Book. So
it was good.
I'm a big fan of that.
John Favreau's great.
It's forgettable is the other thing. Like,
right.
This could be entirely forgettable. Like the Jungle Book, as pretty as it was and as nice as it was to watch, it doesn't feel like a definitive part of my like lexicon of movies that I've seen. I'm like, yeah, that was nice.
Right.
And I'll probably feel the same way about this, or maybe it'll be amazing. And if those are my options,
it's going to look amazing.
If like, those are my options, then I'm on board.
It is going to look amazing.
Yeah. That's without doubt.
Somebody, I forget who it was.
Without doubt.
But somebody posted, like, thanks, Disney, for giving me another, or like it didn't traumatize me enough to see Mufasa die in 2D animation.
Now I have to watch it in high definition.
Like, photorealistic.
Now you can see Simba's tears. In an IMAX.
Remember who you are. Anyway, I love Lion King. I'm going to say it's going to be great.
And not only that, you love Lion King, and you're also a self-professed like junkie as far as like I like everything.
I do.
So that's why I'm a little surprised that you don't, you know, you're like a little bit trepidatious.
I'm just not excited about it because I just don't see the point for it.
Yeah, I would think.
But once I see it, I'm sure I'm going to be like, yeah, it was good. Because I can't help myself. Yeah.
You're playing my role.
If nothing else, you'd be like, wow, that was beautiful.
Yeah, it's going to look amazing.
It will look really pretty. And if you, especially if you see it on a big IMAX screen. I'm sure.
So. And if that's all it does, I'm cool.
Any other news? That was really the main thing that I had, was I wanted to rant a little bit about that.
I had something else. Not really.
Okay. I wanted to look up news. News is the one thing that I always forget to kind of look up. And if it's not obvious, like an obvious piece of news.
All my news over the holiday was football related.
Yeah, I'm sure we're forgetting something, which is unfortunate. But, you know, we're not a news show. We're an everything show.
Yeah. So anyway. Everything.
Everything.
That's what's up.
With news. Moving right along.
Yeah, life's a binge. Phone Army.
Money drop right there.
Yep.
See, like this editing part, this is gonna suck.
Because why?
Because I can't chop all this out.
We'll do it live.
See, I can't play that right now
it's
either.
All right, it's all right. We'll pull the thing out. Because we proved last week we can do our drops on the spot whenever we need to.
It's true.
Machine is not needed.
It is a true story. Here we go, finally loading, even though I had it preloaded. But here we go.
Hello, Jared and DJ. It's Rachel. I just got out of an early screening of the new Robin Hood film. And my very quick review of this, I did not know that a movie could make the Russell Crowe version of Robin Hood look like a cinematic masterpiece. And yet this somehow did. It felt like somebody really wanted to make a Robin Hood movie set during, you know, the early Gulf War, and yet they were told, no, you have to actually put it in the 1100s. And they went with that. So imagine a Robin Hood movie with a little bit of Batman and also the candlelight scene from Star Wars. And that is exactly what you will get out of this film. It's, I can't even describe this film. Enjoy, guys. Bye.
So she hated the new Robin
Hood. Hey, folks, sounds like I'm Matt, and this what do I know?
Whoa.
Well, I hope the holidays
I'm not even in that app.
Well
Matt,
so
you're too
far.
Early.
What is
we are
happening?
We're in the middle of our holiday double-decker right now. So
it's Matt's technology taking
he
over.
He really
I'm
wants
not
to
even,
be a part
I'm not even
show.
In that app.
It's a Cyber Matt. It's the, you know, that's the, what do you call
cyber
it?
Cyber attack. Yeah, cyber
from,
Monday.
From the Terminator. That's like the
Sky Matt.
Yeah, Sky Matt taking over.
So, yeah, she apparently didn't, or maybe she did. She said it was okay.
That was our friend Rachel Williams. Yeah. And,
hi, Rachel.
She, okay, it didn't sound like she liked it at all.
Well, she was like, she's like, she's like, they made the Russell Crowe one look like a masterpiece, and that, but somehow it's okay. She's like, but somehow that's okay. I don't know. But, yeah, it didn't seem like she enjoyed it much.
I mean, when I saw the trailer for that, I'm like, this looks terrible.
Well, it looks flashy. It looks... And like you said, like watching, I'd be more intrigued to watch the behind the scenes and watching him do the archery. Behind the scenes was awesome. And, right.
Yeah.
I was but way it's like, do we that. Need this movie?
Well, no, see, I think the time is right for a good, I mean, we only have one good Robin Hood movie.
Yeah, Kevin Costner.
Men in Tights.
I thought you were going to say the animated one. That one's great, too. That one's good, too. There you go.
No,
like a live
Men in Tights is fantastic.
Men in Tights is amazing.
I still like Kevin Costner. Like, as far as the story goes, it's good. Like, the acting's
unlike
not that
some
great.
Some other Robin Hoods. I could
I do like the Warner Brothers one with the...
Old school?
Old Perry on the left. the
Oh, the Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, the Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I saw the funniest meme. It was like... where people know classical music from, and it was like the radio, CD players, elevators had like a tall graph, and then Looney Tunes was like all the way to
all the way to the rabbit. I love that, man.
That's so funny. Now that's the Kill the Rabbit is the one composer who was like a Nazi sympathizer, isn't that right? Something like
what?
Do you ever watch Curb Your Enthusiasm? And there's an episode where he's playing.
I'm not up on my classical music enough.
He's
to
playing music.
Confirm or deny that.
He's playing music, and that guy says, "Excuse me, is that Tchaikovsky?" And I think it was Tchaikovsky. Do you know that he was a Jew hating so and so, and for Hitler, and Larry Davis is like, no, you know
like, play it anyway.
And then he ended up like hiring a band to like play it under the dude's window. Because like, when you have a zillion dollars, you can do a lot of funny things like that.
It's
Wagner.
Wagner. Yeah, Wagner. You're right. Wagner.
We do have another voicemail. So let's check this one out. Oh, this is
Phone
funny.
Phone Army. Boom.
What's up, Life's a Binge? This is Matt here, just chilling. This week I happened to catch Jeremy Piven at the American Comedy Company doing stand-up, Jared's guy. And he's actually a pretty awesome comic. He is legit. When he started comedy, he just did it on a whim or whatever, doing like a charity fundraiser thing, and the comedy bug hit him. So it's pretty interesting. In my time seeing all these national headliners, a lot of people who are actors who become comics are usually like, I had a TV show, and then they don't have any jokes. This dude has like legit jokes, and he seems like a pretty decent guy. So yay, Jeremy Piven. Also, I saw on Thanksgiving Anthony Lawrence being interviewed on TV. I just kind of like, you know, sports was on or whatever, and then it was like USD Anthony Lawrence. I'm like, whoa, it's freaking BJ's nephew. So awesome celebration everywhere. Just wanted to update you with those a couple of things in my exciting life. Anyways, have an awesome one. Binge out.
Binge out, y'all.
Binge out.
So it's funny that, like, at the end of the first voicemail, it started automatically playing a Matt Warburton thing
in a
different app. And then I play the next voicemail, and it's a Matt Warburton thing.
You know, it's Matt.
Matt's all over this show.
Yeah. I can kind of see it sometimes if it comes through, but most of the time I don't even look.
Right.
I'm just like, oh, there's voicemails. Then I play them.
Better that way.
Yeah.
Also, it was that Hitler admired Wagner's music.
Because
Wagner was very much dead.
Well, that's what I was going at the time.
Yeah, I was classical music. Was there even composers in the
40s?
If you want to call and leave us a message about anything, just like those two folks, you can call 619-438-0532.
That was cool. Let me gush about the nephew for a moment.
Sure.
First of all, on Friday, there was a big story in the sports page, front of the sports page, like two-thirds of the front page of that section.
A big spread.
You can
big
just
spread.
Say the full page.
Well, it wasn't quite a full page.
But you know what? You'll get the point.
Anyway, big,
across.
Yeah. Nice story. and it was really cool. They played their playoff game on Saturday that we watched with my other nephew, Richie, and my dad and Nancy and Andrea. And it didn't work out the way we wanted. They'd lost the game.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, they won their first game. They won the first round last two years. Uh-huh. And both times they were very much underdogs.
Right.
And and pulled it out. They were underdogs this time too. So they're the only non-scholarship school that's in the playoffs.
Right.
And so it's tough sledding, but they've been doing really well. And he played fantastic. He played really well. And I wish it would have turned out different. Their defense, like, remember, they gave up 789 yards.
They're just tired.
And they just haven't been stopping the run. So this game was real similar. The second play of the game was a touchdown.
Just run.
Yeah. And so,
that's tough.
But it was so fun to hear these guys, like, kind of just lauding over Anthony. It was really fun to see. Plus, these ESPN3 games, you can get really good coverage of it and really good imagery. And,
oh, cool.
And so we have that. And this long run, this 10 years of watching him play quarterback it's come to an end for the time being. We'll see what the future holds. But
I say, is there a next step planned? Or
there, he's going to play until they kick him out of the game, which, you know, more power to him.
Right on.
So we'll see. We'll see what the future holds. But for the time being, his college career was fantastic.
Hell yeah.
School records.
When he graduated last year?
He graduates. He graduates this year.
December? Graduate
December,
or?
Something like that. Like, because I know
he's redshirt senioring.
Yeah, so he pretty much, like, he's only taking one class this year.
Right.
So, which I was kind of like, dude, you're in school. take some take master's school.
Yeah, do what you can.
Yeah, yeah, right? But he was just like, nah.
Yeah.
You know,
that's always hindsight, though.
Got my degree and get out of this bullshit.
Right.
But he's got that degree, and now he's going to try to, like, play football.
Hell yeah.
And then until they kick him out.
That's right.
Sweet.
And
best of luck to Mr. Anthony Lohman.
Absolutely. Yeah,
ball out.
And congrats on, like, breaking every record ever. Like,
yeah.
Good on you. Like, because, holy cow.
Yeah, everything that's like.
That's why we call them records.
This is what's in front of you. You know, now what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to win and set records. And
that's
what he's done, and it's been great.
Hell yeah. But that's it for the phone army. You can join again, like I said, 619-438-0532. But for now, let's get back into that Maddie interrupting us thing.
And now, another installment of What Do I Know with Matt Warburton.
Hey folks, I'm Matt, and this is What Do I Know? Well, I hope the holidays have been treating you well so far. We are currently in the middle of our holiday double-decker right now, so if you celebrate, I hope that you have been able to celebrate well. So the movie that I most recently saw was the latest in the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo film series called The Girl in the Spider's Web. Just a little history on this. These movies are based on a series of novels by Stieg Larsson. However, this movie is based off of the first novel not written by Larsson. It is written by David Lagercrantz after Larsson's death. So, it's basically fanfic, right? No, it can be canon. This actually begs the question, what really defines canon? Because after the original Star Wars trilogy ended, people wrote all kinds of Star Wars novels in the universe, and comics as well. And then Force Awakens came out and said nope to all that, so is it whatever makes it to the theater? But then sometimes movies get made that turn out so unpopular that they decanonize them, just like they did with Halloween Resurrection, or the Doctor Who movie, which is like half canon. Or the original Doctor Who movies starring Peter Cushing, which is... Sorry, I'm getting in the weeds here. I must really just want to talk about Doctor Who since my other podcast is currently going, The Arrow of Time, a Doctor Who podcast.
No plugs, man.
What was that?
Yeah, I plugged it. Whatevs. Anyway, back to this podcast. So we start back up with our favorite Swedish hacker vigilante, Lisbeth Salander, played by Claire Foy from The Crown. We get to see her kick the crap out of some woman-beating rich jerk and completely ruin him right on. Great character establishment right off the top. The story continues when she takes a job on hacking a dangerous computer program back from the U.S. government, created by Franz Balder, played by Stephen Merchant, also known as the agent from Extras. This brings in the American government agent, Ed Needham, played by the incredible Lakeith Stanfield from Get Out and Sorry to Bother You. After some very dangerous thugs intercept the program and destroy her home, Lizbeth is on the run once again with her journalist friend, Mikhail Blomqvist, played by the effervescent Sverre Gudnason. I'm trying, guys, to recover the program and see who from her own past is behind the thuggery. So I will tell you right off the bat that I did not see the other movies or read the books or really read any kind of synopsis before watching the movie. My girlfriend just gave me some bullet points. I will say this movie did a great job keeping me up to speed with knowing very little. Despite virtually knowing nothing about the series, I didn't feel like I was in the dark. The one thing about this, though, was there is that one scene in the beginning where Elizabeth takes out the guy who was beating his wife. It's in the previews. It looks really cool, and she's basically this vigilante for women who get mistreated by men. I wish that I could have seen more of that in this movie. This story was very personal to Lizbeth's own story. It would be kind of like if you started watching the Dark Knight trilogy with Dark Knight Rises, where he does cool Batman stuff in the beginning, only to get his back broken and be sat in the pit for most of it. Or if you started the Iron Man series by watching Iron Man 3, expecting all this cool Iron Man-ness, only to find Tony Stark on the down low spending most of the movie at Christmas with a kid in some small town. By the way, that's officially on my Christmas movie list. It has Christmas, it counts. Basically, I was expecting something more, but again, it's my own fault for starting with the fourth story in. But they do make a lot of references to her being a vigilante, and I was thinking, oh man, I'd like to watch those movies. So this movie got a splatter-worthy 40% on Rotten Tomatoes. I was watching the movie and wondering why it got such a low review. I think personally it might have been pacing. It was much slower and took its time with certain things. It definitely didn't feel like the American action movie pacing of things. But then again, this is a Swedish series, and it isn't necessarily an action movie, but more of a crime, drama, thriller with action scenes. Unlike Venom, which seemed out of place and a bit disjointed, this movie seemed consistent and coherent. It was just not a pacing I was used to. As far as the action scenes, they weren't really fight scenes. It was more of a situation that Lizbeth had to smart herself out of, or what kind of trap she would pull on somebody to overpower them. Not necessarily bad, but different. I actually enjoyed those moments, and there was a lot of good technology hacking usage. I just wonder if they mismarketed this movie, because I was going in thinking it would be more of like that one initial scene in the beginning of her taking out the rich wife abuser. There's a lot of great performances in this, especially from Claire Foy and Lakeith Stanfield. But overall, I would say this movie is less than the sum of its parts. If anything, it has made me want to go and check the other movies out. But that's just my opinion. Go ahead and tattoo a movie ticket QR code to your back and check it out for yourself because, hey, what do I know? Next time, I'm going to see how a video game character does outside the arcade and into the wild wilderness of the internet because I'm seeing Ralph Wrecks the Internet. It's Disney, and while they're taking jabs at themselves, I really hope that Lion King Everywhere the Light Touches meme makes an appearance. Until then, I've been Matt, and this has been What Do I Know? Have you had your dogs on the
today? That's funky.
What song is that at the end?
That's his podcast, The Arrow of Time.
That's the sound from it.
Okay. I'm assuming so. Because that's what he had mentioned. That
right, it's so funky. I love it.
Hail, yeah.
Arrow of Time. So that's it?
I think so.
I've seen something you hear in like Flash Gordon or
right.
Something like that.
Something a little like Barry Manilow, kind of. Anyway.
Did you see the previous movie?
There's a three-book trilogy, right?
Correct.
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, Girl with the Spiderweb, it's called.
I forget what the third one is.
I think Hornet's Nest
maybe the third one.
Okay. But there's three books, right?
Yeah, there's three books.
Haven't read any of the books.
Nope.
And then they made a movie.
Yes.
A Swedish movie.
Yes. Did you see those?
There's only one, right?
No, they made all of them.
They made all three.
They made all three.
And then, because that movie, I IMDb'd it. That movie came out in 2009, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
The Swedish one, or the American one.
Swedish one, 2009. No, that's right. And then Daniel Craig did an American version.
David Fincher.
2011.
Oh, it's 2011.
So 2 years later. And I haven't seen any of it. Did they make two movies of that one so far?
No, or is this they only movie? Made that
they
one.
Only made the one, but all the Swedish ones were great. Like, I yeah. really enjoyed them.
No, they're really good movies.
Well, I heard the books were good, and yeah. I heard the movies were good, but then they were doing them
I've
again.
I've not read the books.
So, I'm going to take your word on the books.
Well, I heard.
Lindsay read the books. Yeah. Lindsay read the books. And
Jared read the books.
Well, I'll listen to them.
There you go. That's there you go. Just, hell that counts.
Yeah. It will happen.
Hell yeah.
Get it.
But it, yeah, I'm just curious. Like, is this the third movie? Is it the second movie?
I think this is like a brand new
it
movie.
Skips over the yeah, that's because it's based like on the new book.
Yeah, the same character, but a
so
new
wait,
story.
So wait, there's a fourth book?
This is based
it's
on the
kind
fourth,
of a
book,
fourth book,
not yeah. written by the original author.
But it was supposed to like he had an outline for it, maybe, or is this just
I don't
a
know.
Total? Yeah.
I don't
anyway,
think so.
It's weird.
I think it's just a total. We want to continue this because people like it,
right?
Sort of deal.
Make money.
Well, I wonder who like owns
the rights.
Who, yeah,
I feel like there was a controversy on this
because if he's like, I'm just gonna write it and sell it, and they're like, yeah, well, you can't. He's like, sure, I can.
Stop me.
Right. Exactly. But yeah, I'm. It was a good solid review. It was like yeah. didn't make me want to go see it because he was like meh, and I was like yeah. I trust yeah. you, Matt. Like it sounds meh to
I
me too.
I figured as much about that too.
But I didn't
I
see
the
other
one.
That's the thing.
The
I heard it was
good.
Good.
Yeah. The David Fincher one. I didn't like it as much as the Swedish one. Like
yeah,
it was very different.
Yeah.
I
keep
saying sweet. It is Swedish, right? Like,
yeah.
He said it. And that's why I'm saying it.
Yes.
It is Swedish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks, Maddie. So we didn't mention it in. Was that the last one where he did the old switcheroo?
And I the last one was
where I announced it. Yeah, yeah. Where I was like, he said he's going to do Free Solo, and then he didn't. So I hope he gets around to seeing it because I am intrigued about that whole thing.
But next on my list is Bohemian Rhapsody because that needs to be seen.
I see times like this.
I do have a movie pass.
You still have it?
No. A pass to a movie.
No. Pass.
I have a pass to a movie that I got from SeaWorld. So
I'm
excited about it.
Like it's times like right now, holiday time, where I'm like, I wish I still had my movie pass.
Yeah. Right.
Because like I wouldn't be going out like I was before because my schedule's a lot different. And like Samantha and I's schedule is a lot different where I was using it all the time because she was baking at night and I'd get off work and be like, I don't want to. We weren't living at this house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I was like, I'm not going home. I'm just going to go see a movie. And so I went and saw movies all the time.
Yeah.
And it made sense. But now it's like, oh, man, I want to see like three movies. I want to see Bohemian Rhapsody. I want to see Wreck-It Ralph. And I forget what the third one is. But there was one that I know that I was like, ooh, I want to see that too. And I haven't gone to see any of them.
Yeah.
Because
a friend of mine from college went and saw Bohemian Rhapsody, and she is not a Queen fan or anything. She's like, I had like a spiritual experience like watching this
really?
Movie.
Oh, really?
That's great.
And then suddenly it's like looking for vinyl, like wants to get more into the band. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's interesting.
Good job, movie.
Yeah. Now I already wanted to go see it, but now I really want to.
You've noticed Queen stuff and Queen songs being like used in advertisements.
On the drive home from the Bay Area, every radio, like we flipped through three radio stations and four times in a row, it was a Queen song. I'm like, okay.
And
now we have
commercials
to see this movie.
Commercials have a bunch of Queen songs on it too. And like, okay. That's that whole corporate.
But not
like,
the ones I really wanted to hear.
Right.
Except, I mean,
what do you want to hear? Like,
I mean, obviously they played Bohemian Rhapsody.
Right.
I can't not play that. But
that's,
I want
like, that's the ultimate Queen
song. That's the one.
That's the ultimate, the one. Almost like ultimate song.
That's the song.
But definitely it's the ultimate Queen song.
Yeah.
So but I didn't hear
what else?
No Radio Gaga. And I always love hearing Bicycle. I want to remember that.
Right. Yes.
Bicycle.
Yeah, I love that song. I didn't hear that. And Don't Stop Me Now. Like, it's my other favorite one.
Don't Stop Me Now.
Do you know that, like,
I love
for
Don't Stop
Me Now,
yeah.
I got to be honest, and I consider myself a Queen fan,
mm-hmm.
that was a song that I wasn't that familiar with until Shaun of the Dead.
Really?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That song's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Don't
Stop Me. And
that's like so good.
You know, listening to Queen is like, it's so bizarre.
The artistry is so weird. Like, how did you get from A to B?
Well, I mean,
like,
first
in
of
the
all,
middle of this song, and now you're going, we're going to do it like this now.
Yeah, you're a rock band. I mean, you're a rock band.
I'm like, it works, but how did you think of it? Is what I want to
well,
know.
Or even, like, how do they have the gonads to kind of, like, put that out there as a product? You
I don't know.
Like,
Fat Bottom Girls, you
yes!
rock and world
now, to me,
around.
Fat That's Bottom Girls standard. Is like a standard rock and roll bluesy rock song, and it rocks. It
but
kicks
it doesn't fit
ass.
With anything else
but like
right.
but like Killer Queen like that song like She keeps a moon and Shonda in a pretty cabinet. She said, just like
Mary. You can hear them all in your head, like just by saying one word. Like, I love it.
That song is so bizarre. It's like a Broadway show song happening on stage. You imagine it. And that, in fact, that's how I remember thinking about Bohemian Rhapsody. And when I was a little kid, my mom used to call me in from outside from the backyard playing, your song is on, you know, and I would run in and stand in front of the radio. And I would like act out this whole thing, Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia, let me go. And my mom would freak out because I would just be so into the song and doing this whole like little.
That's why he wrote it.
Yeah, doing this whole little scene about, you know.
It's a whole story.
Singing the song and like acting it out. That my mom would like, it was like a show for her that like whenever the song came on.
There's a reason that song is being sung at karaoke bars right now, probably around the country.
Yes, yeah, in several places of them, right at this moment. Yes.
Do you know the reason why We Are the Champions and We Will Rock You are one song?
I don't know why.
They will only ever play
on the radio.
On the Queen's Greatest Hits album. Uh-huh. It's one track back to back.
Uh-huh.
Where it's was like,
I don't know if it was an A and B side for a 45 single or not.
No.
Like, I mean, they must have been. Like,
it's probably so bizarre because it like, and as soon as that fades out, it's I've paid my dues
because it's a fucking time great album. Time. Like, blend into the next thing.
But it's always like they are not set. And I'm just curious. I'm like, it is two separate songs, right?
It is. Yeah. It absolutely is.
Yeah,
it's weird. You don't hear. Yeah, you don't.
It's never played separate.
You hear We Will Rock You by itself, but you don't.
You will never hear We Are the Champions without the lead in of We Will.
Except during like
when
sports.
It's like a cut when it's
or
just
sports.
We Are the Champ. Right, but you're not going to hear anyway. I just always found that bizarre.
It's cool. I think that's a testament to like album making and like where you have certain albums and songs that. The next song is this.
It's necessary to hear the next song.
Yeah, there's certain Led Zeppelin songs where you're like, the next song is this. Like, if you're going to play this, then you better play this because that's
Floyd.
The next song.
Like, you can't just play one song out of Dark Side. You got to play at least two or three.
Yeah.
On that same kind of aspect, back when mix CDs were like the thing to do, it's like I made my very first mix CD and I played the shit out of it because I was like, I got a mix CD and I got a car and I got a CD player and that's
exactly what I
want to
hear.
Need. And so I made it's like the very first song in this mix CD. This is gonna blow your guys' minds here. Bon Jovi's "It's My Life" was my opening number of my mix CD. Right?
I only know the chorus of that song. I can't think of like how that song starts. Or
you're
anything.
Not really missing out. All I mean, right. It's catchy. It's Bon Jovi, right? Anyway, so it's still a good song. Right. But anyway, that was like opening song. I was like. Bon Jovi,
and you know what
life.
Song? So whenever you hear that now,
and now whenever I hear that, it's supposed to end and then go into reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. But it never does. Right. But in my brain, that's what comes after Bon Jovi. It's
so
my life.
Every so often, there's gonna be like a radio station that plays like 90s or 80s or whatever hits, and every so often they're gonna like happen to play
if that happened,
two songs. Yeah, that were on your mix list.
Yes!
And then it's like,
are you
right
kidding
order.
Me?
Yeah. Right.
It happens, I think, a lot. Like, a lot of where you're just like, no way that they played this song.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's only so many songs and so many songs that you're going to put on your mix list.
Because the Bon Jovi one ended, there's no music behind it. It just ends with like a reverb, like, it's. Hold on, like this. It's my life. And then as soon as that ends, and Cake starts with the distance starts with no music either. So like I did it on purpose in my brain.
So it works.
And so it just flowed right into the next song. But now every time I hear that song, and it doesn't work any other song, only that one for some reason.
I have a bunch like that. So like Sir Mix-a-Lot, one time's got no case. I don't know if you know that song, but One Time's Got No Case ends, and then it starts with which is a song Weekend Funk by Prince. And so like,
cause and it was like a mix that you made.
Yes, it was like, this is the next song to that. And there was a lot of mixes that I made that were like that. That like, the next song better be this, because
for me it was, thank you. it would always have to go from Blind Melon's One Hit Wonder, No Rain, into Jane's Addiction's Summertime Rolls.
Dude.
And whenever I hear one, I expect to hear the other.
Yeah.
And that's the only one too that I have in my head where if I hear that song, I am for sure hearing Cake Start at the end of it.
Yeah. I've forgotten a lot of the other ones, but that's for really a while cool. That was a thing. Like once CDs like sort of like tapered off,
maybe,
you know?
Maybe that's, yeah, because like even if you make playlists or whatever now, it's not, you have so many different playlists or different genres. Or like
skip around.
Or you don't even play your playlist. You just click on like radio of like this genre or whatever it is.
I wonder if playlists are as much of a thing as like mixtapes like
by
were.
The wayside.
Because I've never had them be as like a thing as much as I did when I used to make mixtapes and mix CDs. More, I made mixtapes were a lot more work.
I think it's now because you don't have to try.
You can just pick a genre.
You're like, or anything. You're like, you don't have to keep it with you because you're like, I want to hear this right now. Bloop, bloop. And you just have it and you can hear it.
I want to hear the Rolling Stones. And they'll play like, you know, a couple Rolling Stones songs and the bands that are kind of like the Rolling Stones.
Right.
And it'll most of the time be what you want to hear.
But back in the day, you're like, man, I really like this Bon Jovi song and I really like The Distance by K. These are my jams.
I really want to hear Kiss from a Rose.
They're on the radio. They're only on the radio unless you have the CD or Napster and then you made your own CD. And so then it's like, ooh, great. I have my compilation. But you don't need that anymore.
LimeWire.
If you want to hear Bon Jovi, you just find Bon Jovi. And you want to hear Cake right after, you find Cake.
Yep.
Like, I almost wish I could find.
You can literally tell your phone.
Right.
Like, I'd say, because I have Amazon Music.
I did that in the shower.
Like, Alexa, play Black Rebel Motorcycle Club. And it'll it'll almost always start with the exact song I want to hear, too.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, that's ridiculous.
Like, yeah.
Like, it'd be. I almost want to see if I can find the old CD case, because I bet I have it somewhere.
Yeah.
Of like Jared's Awesome Mix 1996 or whatever it was.
That's what it's called.
I'm sure it was something like that. But I just want to find it and then just create the playlist and be like, yeah, like this is my shit.
And kick it old school.
I remember like taking
Old Dirty Bastard was on there.
A mixtape.
I'm the ODB, as you can see.
I took a mixtape that I had made and like made it into a CD.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a little bit different because I couldn't control like the exact time that it would go into the next song. It was always like a 1 or 2 second delay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was still, it was so fun. You want to jump? Go ahead.
You can't make it.
You could do it.
No, he's going to hurt himself. You can't make it that far, Trevor.
There you
he's
go.
He's like, that's all right. I just
get it.
He's like, boy. I just Jedi mind tricked you into like
moving. Yeah, that's what I wanted.
I had no intention of jumping.
Silly human.
Anyway, so let's do this. After these messages, we'll be right back.
One.
And now we're back to the show.
Do you remember Saturday Night Live? There's a skit about...
I've seen that show once before, yes.
What'd you bench? What'd you bench? What do you bench?
No. I do not know.
And it's like a skit with like Jay Moore and a bunch of dudes, and they're sitting around, and they're all like
Jay Moore,
like big giant like arm guys.
I remember that one.
And then they have like a fake super skinny
teeny
legs,
feet, teeny feet.
Yeah, and they'd get all mad. Oh, let me give this guy a beating! Oh, please, let me give this guy a beating, please.
I don't remember that.
And every
at
time
all.
We would call in, they'd
That's
say,
a good concept.
"All right, welcome to it. What'd you bench? What do you bench? What do you bench?" That's like the first question that they ask everybody.
Nice.
So where was I going with that? Where
did
I
have no idea. Preeminent here. Derailed.
The train left the station. It's long gone.
You jumped on that train. Jumped on it and then derailed it. Somebody put coins on that track and flew it off the thing, man.
BJ, what have you watched recently?
What have I watched? So I watched the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
I do not know this.
Okay, so you're familiar.
We talked about it before with somebody. I forget who it was. But
have
anyway.
I seen that?
Do you? So now you're familiar with the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown?
Yes.
Okay. And Charlie Brown Christmas.
And Charlie Brown Christmas. Uh-huh. This is okay. So the Great Happy Thanksgiving, Charlie Brown is a different one.
Correct.
Huh. And so this
came
one
came out in the same time, right?
73.
Yep.
Okay.
And so I think it probably came out before, and I bet you they probably bought.
Your sister told us about this. That's who it was.
About the Great Pumpkin or
last
about,
year? About,
no,
the,
about Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Okay.
I remember we had her on
uh-huh.
and she talked about it. Anyway, go ahead. Continue.
So cool. That's cool. Now I want to like hear that and see yeah. it. But anyway, so I'm watching it and it's interesting. First, it's 1973. And I've been recently heard a story about the character Franklin becoming a character on The Simpsons. I mean, on
Peanuts.
Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, being a Peanuts character, mm-hmm. and that it was kind of a revolutionary thing to have a black character.
Yeah.
So I'm watching this episode, and first of all, they're making a Thanksgiving meal for just the kids. Like the kids are doing it, and they get
they're making
Snoopy.
The meal. Yeah.
Well, Snoopy does the whole thing.
Of course, he does.
Snoopy does the entire thing. So Snoopy, it's a crack up that Snoopy like prepares the entire meal of toast. And popcorn
Man,
and candy.
I want that dog.
Yeah, and he sets the table. He like deals all the plates like playing cards. And
yeah,
shung. And he puts on his chef hat and he and Woodstack, wrestle around and end up in these Thanksgiving uniform outfits things with the hats,
pilgrim
and
outfits,
outfits.
Yeah.
And it's really Snoopy heavy. But Peppermint Patty is kind of a bitch about it, and she's mad.
Shocking.
She's mad that first of all, it starts with the classic Lucy moving the football.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the which is such a great sound. I can never.
Yeah. You can't replicate.
There's
that.
A something about that quality of the when he goes flying is something else. But that was really cool, and some of the things that were interesting. Franklin comes in,
and he's like.
Yes, and so Charlie Brown gives him a little soul
a little fist
shake.
Bump shake.
Yes, he gives a little shake of a thing, and I'm like,
you know, Charlie Brown's down.
Like, he's down. He's down. Dude, Charlie Brown.
Yeah,
he's probably
Brown.
Got a black
There's
dad.
A, yeah,
you know, probably.
Let's be real.
Probably.
There's a dance named after him.
You never know. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, that's really interesting. And then they set up the table for Thanksgiving. I can't believe this. It's so funny. So. They have a whole table. There's four people. Linus, what's Charlie Brown's sister's name?
Sally.
Sally.
Yeah. Yeah. Linus, Sally, Peppermint Patty, and Marcy on one side. And only Franklin is on the other side of the table. So there's four people on one side, I swear to God, and one on the whole other side of the long side of the table is Franklin. And then I'm telling you, it's a crack up. It's, I don't know what to think.
Was there other empty chairs, or is
no,
it just like
just
that's
that
where
chair.
You sit?
It's a crack up, and he sits on the.
You're on that side.
He sits
guy.
In the shitty
oh,
chair
boy.
That Snoopy does a whole like fight scene with. So Snoopy's trying to set up a chair that.
Oh,
like,
so it's a messed up chair too.
So yeah, so he sits in it and falls down.
You get this shitty chair, Franklin.
Yeah, and then no. I'm like looking at the thing. I'm like. He's the only one on that side. There's four people on the one long side of the table,
man.
And Franklin on the other side. So it's just a funny thing. Now, I know that, that
Peanuts lives matter.
That Peanuts, well, Peanuts was a, it was important that they included a black character.
Right.
You know, and so you kind of like wonder how much leeway to give them, you know, like, well, yeah, yeah. You know, they did bring in a black character, make Charlie Brown time. Give him a soul shake, too. But it
put
was
him
just,
on his side of the table.
But it's really.
We can't let them start thinking they can eat with us, right. Too.
Because the dog is at the table on the right side.
The dog made the meal. He can sit wherever he wants.
Yes. So anyway, it was fun to watch. And then there was this other one that aired after it. On what we were just set up our VCR, our DVR to record it.
And it came VCR.
Yeah, he set up his VCR, Jerry.
So
plugged in his coaxial cable in the back. And
so some of the just funny things that I wrote down some of these funny things that I was like, I thought it was interesting about it. And one of them was Franklin getting the soul shake. The other one was Franklin sitting by himself on one side of the table. But Peppermint Patty gets called sir by Marcy all the time.
Always.
Which is funny.
Yes.
That's just a funny thing to me. And she's like, oh, I just, and she chews out Charlie Brown. And then Marcy says, you're a little rough on him, sir. And, and then she's, tries to reconsider that. But, I remember at the very end of the thing, they're singing, over the hill mountains, through the woods, to grandmother's house we go.
Yeah.
And Charlie Brown says, but there's only one problem. My grandmother lives in a condominium. And I never knew when I was a kid, I was like that. That was like, what did he just say? Like,
right.
Well, what?
Listen,
what
does
that
mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I never knew what that meant at all. But that was kind of funny. So anyway, it was two episodes and two Charlie Brown specials in a row. That one, which is pretty quick and easy.
The Thanksgiving one?
Yeah. The grandmother invites all the kids over and they go. And that's the end of the show. And then besides that, then Snoopy pulls out a fucking big giant turkey out of his doghouse that he made
for himself.
And
did he make it? Wait, he made it in the doghouse?
I don't know. He must have had it in the but a big beautiful turkey that he carves up and serves the bird to his bird friend. So him and Woodstock eat a bunch of turkey.
Snoopy.
Yeah, part of me is like, oh, that's Andrea's like
it's a cartoon.
The bird's eating birds. Like, but it is kind of funny. If you ever give a pig a piece of a hot dog or something like that,
they'll eat it.
Yeah.
Oh, piglet.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny. Like,
probably another live pig if it was slow enough.
Dude, there was a South Park. I think it was on one of the DVDs they made or something where they did that. They were like cooking up a whole bunch of bacon and they were feeding it to pigs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you guys doing?
This is something poor spirited about that. Yeah. Like, I don't like that. So. But the other one was called This Is America, Charlie Brown, the Mayflower Voyage. Do you remember seeing that one?
No. Did they put the black guy on the other side of the table?
They didn't, but they did.
Oh, but, I would watch that version.
I'm telling you, the Native Americans in this are very whiteified.
And they're like, here, have some food. Is it like the bastardized version?
We brought
of...
you this maize, which is what we call corn.
Right.
Well, it was more like, this whole area has been developed, but I don't see anybody. And they say, I repeat, we didn't see any Indians, like when they're setting up. And then later there's an Indian there.
Why
and
are they
he's
airing
like,
that on TV still?
I don't know. I don't know. I like the idea that you kind of see where the country's
it's important we don't forget this.
Yeah, that's why I like the old cartoons that have blackface and stuff like that, and I like some of the stuff that's like, that would never wash now.
Yeah.
But I appreciate seeing it now, you know.
Right. Like when we did our Schoolhouse Rock and it was like little more elbow room.
Elbow room. Elbow room.
Get out of here, you pesky Indians. I need some more room.
Elbow room. Mow them down. Elbow room.
Oh God.
So anyway, I watched that. I also watched Pacific Rim.
Uprising?
Part two.
Did it suck? I heard it sucked.
I fell asleep on it.
So it sucked.
Well, it was late at night. You know, I had started it because I had fallen asleep. So we had a gig Friday night, which was a lot of fun. And then got up in the morning. And I can't sleep in, you know.
Right.
I just can't. So if I go to bed late, I'm going to miss out on however many hours of sleep.
Sure.
Because I'm just going to get back up. And then I'm going to be tired. And so, like, after the game on Saturday, and I fell asleep and slept for a good couple hours in the chair.
While you're watching Pacific Rim.
No. Then I went to bed.
Oh.
And then by the time you get up, I get enough energy to get up and go to bed, you know, then you're kind of up for a little while.
Right.
Yeah. So I put it on my iPad with the headphones on, and I watched it in bed. And I, you know, I got a kick out of it. It's had all the big stuff like that I love to see, like the
giant robots.
The giant scale.
But I heard
the
there wasn't
scale.
As many of them at all. Yeah. No. Anyway.
And then there was a kind of this girl rebel character who I was just kind of meh about.
It's like, why?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of see what they're trying to do with it. And then the character's like Idris Elba's son. And it's the dude from Star Wars, the English black guy.
John Boyega.
Yes.
There you go. And he's entertaining enough, but they make his character kind of... It's weird, but it's fun.
Well, I heard I haven't seen this movie, but going off of the first movie, it's very rare for somebody to be able to pair up with somebody else and have the whatever they call it in the movie.
Drift capability.
Right, where like that was a rare thing, and in this movie, they're just like, here, get in there. You get in there, too.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Look, it works.
Forget all that stuff we said about before.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, and so it's like, you guys are changing your own shit.
Or I made one that I can pilot by myself.
Right.
So, that was the thing, too.
We have one where there's three of us.
There's a storyline where you can pilot them remotely. And so...
But see, that and so the ruins the like, whole mythology that they created in the first one.
But they deal with it pretty well. And then they need the pilots to kind of, like, actual
pilots
Day to,
like, again?
He is.
Is he, like, bad guyed out?
That
like,
is
all, like...
Partially.
All, like... tweaked in his brain, like, oh, I'm alien now.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that's the story.
And it goes too far.
Yeah, anyway.
And who's the other dude? The English dude who's been in lots of things. Weird looking guy.
Yeah, that's a very good description.
His partner, like, you know, like...
Yeah. The guy
Charlie
that's like
Day's
his guy.
Like, yeah,
I don't remember.
His underling or whatever.
Was he in the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in the first one.
He was the weird English guy. I don't know.
Yeah, the two of them in this movie, I was just like, why are you on the screen
right now?
I think that it was like that was some continuity they wanted to bring into the next one. Because there wasn't any other ones.
No, it was meh.
Yeah.
But like, you know, shiny robots. And the scenes with
fun.
The robots doing stuff
fun,
is cool.
But not great.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I fell asleep at the end, but I do want to see it.
Yeah.
But it didn't tickle me as much as Rampage did. Yeah. So I'm down.
Dude, so we shared a Movies Anywhere account with my brother, and they just got Skyscraper.
Oh,
and I am really, really excited to watch it. I haven't done it yet, but I am like, ooh, I know the next movie I'm watching.
I saw where he busts out of his thing.
Oh, no, that's Fast and Furious.
It was on sale for rent on Amazon for like $2. I'm like, ooh, this movie just came out, and they're already letting you rent it for $2.
It's happening. I've heard it's exactly what you want. It's a stupid giant building, and he's like, I gotta go save him. And then guess what? He saves him, and it's great. And the building's probably gonna explode, and it's gonna be fantastic.
About right.
Is that the one in the preview? They're like, I'm just a custodian who does this.
Yep.
The humble security guard or something or other.
Yeah, something like that.
Who is the Rock.
Who likes to kick ass.
Yeah, exactly.
You should be in Special Forces. Have you seen how big you are? Play football or something. You're a giant of a man.
I'm a janitor.
No man that big is a security guard.
It's going to be great.
Christ.
Can't wait.
So I watched A Wrinkle in Time yesterday.
I heard that movie sucked.
That's like an older one, right?
It's
new
last
movie.
Year.
Based on
the
book, though.
Oh, but to what's his name? The guy who did The Notebook?
No.
This is not that same
Disney
author.
That's Nicholas Sparks.
Nicholas Sparks, thank you.
Disney-fied. This is directed by Ava DuVernay of Selma fame.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of the name.
Very serious, amazing director.
Yep.
This movie was bad. Like,
I've
heard
it's bad.
It's not like aggressively bad, but the more I think about it, the worse it gets. Which
Who's
is
in it?
I hate feeling about
Oprah,
a movie that way. Oprah's in it. Reese Witherspoon's in it.
Oh.
Mindy Kaling, Chris Pine, Kerry Washington.
And then a bunch of children.
Children. Just in that casting, it sounds very scattered. I'm like,
so there's a couple things the movie does that really bother me. And from a narrative standpoint, and from like I'm a human watching a movie standpoint, and from just watching a movie standpoint. One of them is that Reese Witherspoon turns into a giant piece of lettuce and they fly on her because reasons. Like, there's no real impetus for it to happen in the movie, for it to, like, be effective or, like, useful. It's just kind of like, we can do this amazing effect, so let's just do it. And, like, let's have her spin around and turn into freaking flying lettuce. And Lindsay and I are watching, we're looking, she's like, why is she lettuce right now? Like, couldn't they have a like, at this point, I'm just going to spoil the shit out of this movie because don't watch it. at this point,
so she's the, lettuce.
The impetus of the movie
she's
is
lettuce
that
the whole time.
I'm Chris Pine's character is the, I forget the main character's name. The girl's name is Meg,
right,
or something. So her name is Meg, first of all. Uh-huh. It's like they're trying to make her like unlikable by naming her Meg. But her, so? her dad, Chris Pine, is this astrophysicist, and he's disappeared. He's vanished, and I don't know where he is. And him and Kerry Washington, who plays her mom, they figured it out, like some crazy like physics, blah, 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 that if you tune into like the right frequency, you can travel instantaneously like across the universe. And he's like rightfully super stoked about this.
Right.
So he's like describing it to people like at a science thing. And the wife is like, no, they're not ready to like hear this. Like we have to like ease them into it. And he's like, but no, we have this thing and it's amazing. Like we have to introduce people to it, which I'm like, yeah. Like if you've discovered a way to travel across the universe instantaneously, tell everybody
immediately.
Let's tell them immediately. And if they laugh at you, so what? And then you prove them right. And then you're a baller forever.
Right.
Anyway. So he figures it out and he like travels across the universe instantaneously on accident. Right. And it cuts to like 4 years later where he's disappeared because nobody knows where, and we don't know where he is. We don't know that he did that. We just know that he's gone. And then from then on, there are all these moments where the ability to travel instantaneously from one point to another would be super useful, but nobody ever does it. It's like, you've convinced us that you can travel from Earth to like planet whatever, but if someone's falling off a cliff, you can't jump like 100 feet to get over there and help them. Like, come on.
So what the lettuce?
So the movie, I know, and then she turns into lettuce. Well, they're trying to find her dad, the kid's dad, and they're on this planet where he like jumped to by accident, and the only sentient beings around are flowers. So they ask the flowers where if they've seen him, and the flowers can't speak a language, but they respond in color. If this sounds ridiculous and stupid to you, imagine actually watching it happen.
So it does flowers, sound a bit, but I've heard it's like supposed to be a really good book or series of books.
So Lindsay and I had this debate. She's like, well, if they're basing it on the book and they're sticking close to the book, can we really fault them for this? I'm like, yes, we can, because if you're making a movie, you should make better decisions
that
work in a film narrative, which
because
they did not
I'm
going to
tell you. Turning lettuce.
She turns into a giant lettuce creature thing with a face, by the way.
That's ridiculous.
It's a little out there.
Yeah, ridiculous.
That's pretty good. Ridiculous. I'll give you that one.
All right.
I'll give you that one. Thank you.
The most egregious thing this movie does, maybe not even the most, but one of the things that really rubbed me raw is that it portrays bullying in a way that's just so far beyond what any real bully would ever do. Like the kids at school are like teasing this girl because her dad vanished. So they leave a note on her locker, and it's like, it'd be really cool if you disappear forever, too. I'm like, that is messed up. Like, really? Like, this kid lost her dad. Like, I don't know any bully in school who wouldn't be like, maybe we should ease off on Meg for a while because her dad literally vanished into thin air.
Disappeared.
Like, let's tease her about it.
Too, immediately.
Right? Like, come on.
I heard your dad was killed while he was all blended up at work. It's back to the grind.
Ridiculous. And they have like,
God, man.
And they
Come
do this
on.
Thing where they do this thing where there's like the young hot dude who's like, I mean, you know, they're kids, but it's like he's supposed to be her like handsome foil. And the guy is literally just there to like make her feel and look awesome in the movie. And I'm like, I get what you're doing here, because in a lot of movies previous, women have been characters that are only there to make the male character feel awesome.
The other way around, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you're trying to be, and the movie is very much trying to be like, you know, believe in yourself, progressive thoughts, blah, 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 warm fuzzies. If that's what you're trying to do, that's not the way to do it.
Right.
Like, being better than that is the way to do it. So writing a character like him where he has no, like, real impetus of his own other than being there to support her, I'm like, I see why you did that. I do, but that's not how you make that point.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Boo.
I don't
know.
So yeah, it was.
I heard bad things about it.
It was.
Well.
That's exactly it. Not good.
Oh, good times. We watched A Christmas Story.
Right.
That's much better.
That never fails.
But are we allowed to watch that, Rich? It's not December yet.
You're not.
Save that for Christmas.
And then we watched A Christmas Vacation.
I haven't seen that in a while.
You can watch that any time of the year.
Oh, yeah. Good. You know, I haven't seen that in a long time. I want to see that. Yeah, it's been like several years.
Christmas Vacation?
Yeah.
Dude, That's my favorite Christmas movie.
It's like a yearly tradition for Lindsay and her family. So
cool. I'm looking forward to watching it.
We watch it every year.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's great.
Dude, his one take, I assume it was probably one take, but his rant at the end when he's like, hallelujah, holy shit. Where's the Tylenol? God, it's the funniest thing I've seen ever.
Is that Chevy Chase?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He just rants. It's kind of like the rant in the first Vacation movie, if you remember it at all.
Yeah. Where you're like, when he finally reaches his breaking point.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
God, it's fucking great.
That's cool.
I love that movie. But see, I like the off. Yeah. Did I say nipple?
Nibble? Did I say nipple? Oh, look at that, Rush. You can't even see the line. Yeah, Dad, you can't.
Tis the season to be merry. Well, that's my name. Oh, shit.
God, well, shit.
I can quote the whole freaking thing. But I like the off-kilter, like, comedy Christmas movies where...
Not the warm, fuzzy.
Samantha likes Christmas Story, and she likes The Grinch with
Christmas
Jim Carrey.
Christmas Story is kind of off-kilter.
Ish.
Any classics? It's American Life.
Miracle on 34th
Street. It's a Wonderful Life. Every once in a while, I'll watch it.
Dude, you're watching Elf. What? Sacrilege. We're going to get phone calls about this. People love that. I mean, I like it, but people love that movie.
Oh, I know. They think it's a new Christmas classic, and I'm like,
meh.
I can hang with it. It's okay, but it's a little too much Will Ferrell being Will Ferrell. Mm. Like, a little too much for me.
How about The Ref?
Dennis Leary?
Yeah. Wow.
And who's in that? There's Kevin Spacey? Pull, yeah. Who else is who's the... Oh, what's her name?
The redhead...
Oh,
actress.
Man, she was in... Oh, I'm not going to get it. I need to move
I'll
on.
Get it wrong, too, because I'm thinking of...
I need to move on.
The same one who was in
she was in American President.
Beetlejuice.
Or, it's not Gina Davis.
No. Ooh. The redhead. The funny redhead in Beetlejuice.
The mom.
Yeah, the mom.
Oh, it's not her.
It's not her. It's a different redhead actress.
Yeah. Nice job.
Yeah, I know her name.
Catherine O'Hara. Yeah,
it's not her. But anyway, no, that's a good pull. But somebody posted, like, what's your favorite Christmas movie? And, like, I think it was Allie, who was a friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there was, pick a number, like, 1 through 10 or something. And then somebody is like, well, you forgot to add Gremlins and, like.
Is that a Christmas
movie? Oh, okay.
And
okay.
Things. So it's, like, basically the whole is Die Hard a Christmas movie.
Die Hard is absolutely Christmas.
Is it?
No.
Yes.
Okay. No. Look,
because I say yes, it
is. I say yes.
Just because the movie takes place, like, is Iron Man 3 a Christmas movie?
Does that take place at Christmas?
Yes, it does.
So that's why it's not, because I forget that it is. But I always remember that
he writes,
takes place.
Now I have a machine gun and puts a Santa hat on him and says, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when they get in the car, he's like, can we play some Christmas music? And he's like, this is Christmas music. And they're playing Run DMC's Christmas. And the whole soundtrack's Christmas music the whole time.
But I when I hear a Christmas movie, it's a movie about Christmas.
Of course.
I'm with you there.
Of
it's about
course.
Christmas. Because it takes place at Christmas. Doesn't make it a Christmas movie. It's a movie that I will watch during Christmas time.
Sure.
Because it takes place during Christmas, but I'm not thinking I'm watching a Christmas movie right now.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, I freaking love Die Hard.
Well, see, here's
but do you want to watch it at Christmas time? Like, I do. Like, I do. But
see, I want to watch Die Hard anytime.
But see, here's the
at Christmas.
Like, here's the thing that would tie into your version of it where like say Elf.
Yeah.
People love Elf.
Yeah.
Are you going to put on Elf in June?
No.
Like, I'm sure some people
might.
Well, that's
might. Definitely
people
more traditional.
But I'm
going to
watch
Christmas.
Die Hard if I'm flipping through the channels and it's March 12th.
Yeah, if Die
Hard
is on.
Ooh, Die Hard, I'm watching
if
it.
If that's on any time of the year, I'm watching it.
But, like, like Scrooged isn't going to play on TV unless it's December. They're not going to be like, ooh, let's watch Bill Murray and Scrooge, which is fantastic.
So is it Christmas. Disney's Christmas Carol or is it Muppet Christmas? I think
Disney's is Jim Carrey animated.
No, I know which one's
okay.
I'm trying which one I like better.
Muppets.
Yeah, I think
my favorite version of the Christmas Carol story
definitely Muppets.
Is Muppets Christmas Carol. And then right behind it is Scrooged with Bill Murray. And then
to see the Muppet Christmas one.
It's fantastic.
It's been a while.
Super good.
It's great music. Yeah. It's fun. Michael Caine is brilliant
He's
as Scrooge.
Super good.
Like, it's fantastic.
Yep.
That makes me think Ebenezer. Like, what happened to, like, those names?
Ebenezer?
Like, how come nobody's named Ebenezer anymore?
That's a good name.
It's a great name.
Ebenezer.
Cassius.
Ebenezer. Ebenezer.
Julius. Agnes.
I'm going to name my kid Ebenezer.
I grew up with a kid whose name was Aloysius.
Aloysius? That's great.
That's a good name, too.
Kick-ass name, right? You just call him Al if you don't want to say the whole thing. But...
What are you doing over there?
These screws are just too much.
You've lost interest.
I want to like stick this through
he's
here.
Like, it's too early to talk about Christmas movies. I knew it.
Die Hard.
I'm down for Die Hard.
But see, that's the thing. I'll watch Die Hard anytime ever. So to your point, that's maybe not a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Because I love Christmas Vacation, and I have played that movie. Just randomly, because it's a freaking great comedy.
Yeah.
But mostly I'm going to watch that movie in the end of November into December
right.
for Christmas.
Because mm-hmm.
people do, like, let's plow through our Christmas movies, and you watch the Rankin-Bass, like, Rudolph and
hell
whatever.
Yeah.
And you watch, you know...
Santa Claus?
Santa Claus is a good one. Samantha loves all three of them.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
I have feelings about the Santa Claus.
Now, which one? Are you talking about Santa Claus is coming to town?
No.
Santa Claus. No, Tim Allen.
Santa Claus is Tim Allen.
Oh, that one? Nah. I have no. I don't think I've ever seen it.
What?
Yeah. Oh. Tim Allen.
So I like.
I don't know why Tim
maybe
Allen.
Maybe I like it because I saw it as a kid.
I like it. I haven't seen it in a long time. Maybe. But think. So here we go. In the Santa Claus, Tim Allen kills Santa. Right.
No, he falls off his roof.
He doesn't kill him, but Santa falls off the roof.
Correct.
He puts on the jacket, and then he's the new Santa.
Correct.
What happens if he doesn't put on the jacket?
Nothing.
There's just no Santa?
Correct.
Now there's no Santa.
Accurate.
What the fuck?
I don't like that possibility.
And the elves have no contingency plan for this?
I'm sure there's somewhere
furthermore,
down the line, yeah.
Later on, we find out that there is a Mrs. Claus, so Santa has to get married so that there's a Mrs. Claus so they can keep being Santa.
Correct.
So does that mean that the original Santa also had a Mrs. Claus? And
what
if so, what happened to her when he died? Did the elves just like
get out?
Does she die with him?
You're
which I'm
out
like,
of the
all
home.
Right, that's fine. Or just kick her out into the North Pole?
Yeah,
like,
go. Good luck. Good luck hanging out with the polar bears.
These are the things that I think about when I watch these movies. Yeah.
That's good times.
But I do love those.
The elves kill her and serve her for Christmas dinner.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's the way.
In the Grinch,
Santa's magic runs out, so they eat her to keep the
that's
magic
going.
That's
what roast beast is.
Yeah.
Roast beast.
Mrs. Claus.
Terrible.
So they make, there's a new Grinch movie. Like,
starring Benedict Cumberbatch as the Grinch.
Okay,
that's Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yes.
I was
Benedict Cumberbatch.
That voice, I was like, I don't
like
it.
I love his voice.
Yeah, but I don't like
it. Sounds very, like, he's doing a voice.
Yeah, like nerdy. Like he does. I wouldn't have never guessed it was him.
Right.
I don't think I've seen any trailers or anything for it. So
I have. And then so the voice, the speaking voice of the Grinch, to me is off-putting. Like,
Benedict
Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
I don't like it at all.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I don't know if it's the Grinch story.
But you know, also.
It came out in October. And I'm like, why is there putting out a Christmas movie? But maybe it's not.
I guess it's just not too early
it's not
for Christmas
called,
movies.
It's not called How the Grinch Stole
Never
Christmas.
Never
it's not
is.
Called How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
No.
It's just called The Grinch. Right. Hmm.
So also, what I'm thinking how much his voice kind of like puts me off. But the original Grinch voice, does he even have a voice? Because they have the narrator talks for a lot of it.
He talks.
Yeah.
Does he talk? Is it like a super deep, dark voice?
That's the narrator who sings the song.
See, like I can't even picture like what the Grinch sounds like.
I honestly don't remember.
He's I can't do it. Right. If I knew lines, I could do it. But he's very like, I must stop Christmas from coming. Like he has this very raspy.
Yeah.
But he has a voice.
Yeah,
for
you're
sure.
right. There it is. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's him talking, not the narrator talking for him.
Correct.
But you still, it doesn't sound anything like this new one.
No.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
think
why
so.
It's off-putting. It's like,
But yeah, the narrator is a different voice as
this
well.
This is the loudest snow I've ever heard. Like, what?
Right.
You're the Grinch.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the loudest snow I've ever heard.
And it's Benedict Cumberbatch, who with very, very minimal effects to his voice was,
smell
a freaking
the dragon,
dragon.
That sounded very scary.
Yeah,
and it's like, and now he's like, and I'm the Grinch. And see, and I listened to a podcast with Rob Paulsen. Do you know who Rob Paulsen is? He's a voiceover guy.
I've heard. Oh, yeah. He's Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah. He's Pinky from Pinky and the Brain. Egad, Brain. And he's super, super, super famous. Really, really good voiceover actor. And he interviews other voice talent on his podcast, which is fantastic for me because I love all that shit.
That's cool.
And he's like, they keep making these movies and they're like, ooh, let's get Benedict Cumberbatch to do it. Because a parent isn't gonna want to go see the Grinch, but then they're gonna get him to come to the movie because they're like, "Ooh, Benedict Cumberbatch is in it. I love him." And they're like, but they're not good
he's
at
not
it.
He's not a voice
like,
actor.
Like, yeah, he's okay. And they do that with, like, everyone. They're like, let's get, for example, Seth Rogen.
Right.
And Seth Rogen has a very distinct voice. And anything he's in, he sounds like Seth Rogen. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not, like, doing a voice. He's like, right. I sound like Seth Rogen. And, like, that's who he is. But they put him in all these cartoons and stuff. And
Simba,
it's like,
you've got to go back to be the king. Like, if you have someone with a distinct voice, you can't just drop them in somewhere.
But,
and
they,
say,
do,
do
but they do. Where if they yeah. cast, if they were to cast, like, say, Robert Paulson and, like, put him in The Grinch,
he would do.
Then they're
voice.
Like, do the be the Grinch now. Okay, I'm going to be the Grinch, and the Grinch is going to sound like this. Oh, and now the dad walks in and he says, what are you doing? So then it's just Rob Paulson going, like, oh, I'm stealing your tree. What are you doing in here? I'm taking Christmas. And, like, he could do everything.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, why
that's
are
what
you
a voice
casting,
actor does.
Why are you casting celebrity, quote unquote, especially right. this day and age? It's like, I don't know. I guess.
Exactly.
But they have to pay that guy way more.
Way more than they'd have
way
to pay Robert
more than they have to pay
yeah.
the voiceover guy.
But, you know, for
what's
a lot of folks,
the ROI.
Like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. Just, exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So
I'm
yeah,
with you.
The
I think
same
it's
thing. I'm like, Benedict Cumberbatch, like, why him if you're just going to, especially if you're not going to have him use his sway or whatever you want to call it. Like, if you get Benedict Cumberbatch to have him do his thing.
Right.
If you're just going to have a nerdy guy do it, then just have a nerdy guy do it. Or somebody that does a nerdy voice real well.
Right.
Like, I don't know. So it's just...
Let him be menacing.
It's in my head.
And then question why you would choose a nerdy voice for the Grinch.
Right. You know, like, right.
That's for another...
Question why you're making another Grinch movie at all.
In the first
because we own the property and we... That's what we do. It's easier. Cheaper.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm watching Christmas movies. That's probably my jam for the next little bit.
Oh, I watched another movie.
I will in a week.
Well, okay. What'd you watch?
I watched... Sorry to Bother You.
Oh, because that's on Hulu right now.
It's on Hulu.
What is that?
So it's Lakeith Stanfield.
Damn it, Tony. Don't call me out for not knowing what this movie is.
Oh, he will.
It's Lakeith Stanfield, and he's a telemarketer.
Yeah.
And it came out.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, I want to see this. So I saw it on Hulu. I'm like, good. I watched it. This movie is baddie.
I heard it's weird.
So you haven't seen it?
Good. I haven't seen it.
It's no. It reminded me of John Malkovich in a way, like being John Malkovich. Yeah, like it's
out there, huh?
Yeah, and it's super. It's got its own style to it.
Is it like a Michel Gondry movie? Like, is he the one that made it?
No, that's Spike Jonze who made the. Are you talking about being John Malkovich?
Yeah.
Is it? What did you say? Is it like being that? Is it that movie?
I said Michel Gondry.
Yeah, who's
he
that?
Didn't direct that.
I'm pretty sure that was a Spike Jonze movie.
We're gonna
but
find
I could be,
out.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
Well, I know easily. He did. Who I'm thinking of directed Jim Carrey, Kate Winslet, Eternal and Sunshine.
Eternal Sunshine of
yeah,
Spotless
which
Mind.
Which is like a weirdo out there movie.
See, I thought that was
great movie also.
Oh, yeah.
Spike Jonze as well, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong about both of them.
Maybe they're
easily.
Like a good director-producer combo?
But yeah. it's...
Spike Jonze directed Being John Malkovich.
Nice.
And nice so so this is a... The director is a musician. I know that he's like a musician who's like in a rap band. And so it's a very much of a change of pace as far as style goes.
Boots
and,
Riley directed
Boots
this
Riley,
yeah.
Right. And I can't tell you the rap band that he's in.
The
but he's in
band.
A rap band. I don't know, but it was good. It was definitely like somebody's vision, and it goes to some places that you're like,
what is happening right now?
Yeah, like yeah. What?
Nice.
Yeah, like really, very much so. Like what
cool.
the hell?
I like that.
And so it goes crazy, and so it's definitely fun to watch for sure, and. Some of it is like deeper than others, deeper than other parts, like just what they're trying to say. But it's definitely worth watching. And
nice.
Lakeith Stanfield is I've haven't seen him in anything
oh,
that
yeah.
I haven't liked him
he's
in.
Money.
He's pretty good at
acting. Which of you was watching Haunting on Hill House?
I finished it.
It was you that was
I
watching
finished
it.
It.
Yes, I did finish
and
it.
And you were gonna watch it?
I'm gonna watch
but
it.
You didn't watch it yet.
No, not yet.
Did you love it?
I liked it.
Interesting.
I thought it might have been a couple episodes shorter.
Uh-huh.
Like they could have told the story a little bit quicker.
Sure.
But I liked a lot of what they did cinematically.
Thank you.
Episode 6 was ridiculous.
Yep.
That single shot. I know some of that was you
there
know,
was cuts and stuff, but yeah.
But
it was choreographed as a single.
Yes. So much of it was
clearly, it was like watching a play.
Yeah, it was clearly really rehearsed very hard with the cameraman and the actors, and that was really well done. So it was really fun. And the story, I enjoyed what they did with a lot of the story, too. Like, kind of like explaining, like in the movie Ghost, where they say, you know, those hairs that stand up on the back of your neck when you're going, you know, coming out of a dark basement. Like, that's them.
Right.
And you're like, oh, well, they just kind of tie things to, like, what your experience is. And, like, so they do that. And in Hill House. You know, it's like the one guy who refuses to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Because he feels like this is a mental illness that we all share.
Right.
And so, which is interesting,
and he's
too.
The one writing the books about it. It's great!
It's
good. I'm just glad
you
finished it.
And you heard his review earlier.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They mess with timelines, you know, that in a way that I get a big kick out of.
Right.
Like, I get a big kick out of that. And so,
I definitely want to watch it.
It's good.
I just got roped into
other stuff.
We started watching Luke Cage season 2, finally.
And?
Tony's not going to give you shit for that.
No, he won't.
He's going to give me shit for not liking
Rich
Luke Cage.
Is such a racist. You don't like
your own people. It's just, not that a story needs to go in a predictable way and follow the line that it sets out, but they have the characters doing things that it's like, we're just going to go against everything we've established about these characters in the previous season and have them make decisions that are totally irrational and don't make any sense at all.
I kind of lost interest. I mean, I haven't watched the whole... I've watched a little bit of season 2.
I've watched enough of it where I'm like, okay, I want to see where this goes.
But I didn't like the end of season 1
either. There's some nice little bits. Like, there's like Misty Knight and Colleen, like, who comes in from Iron Fist. Danny Rand, the Immortal Iron Fist, sworn in on the other hand.
Your favorite.
I hate that guy.
But so
she's great.
On screen. I don't know.
Right? How could I not like that show? Weird that it got canceled.
Exactly.
Anyway, she and like Colleen and Misty have like a really cool like back and forth together. I'm like, wow, like that's a really good like character moment, like really good development. Like I want more of this out of this show. And then it goes back to like, let's have everyone else regress and do things that don't make any sense. I'm like, God damn it.
Yay. Yeah.
Meh.
So yeah.
So no wonder that also got canceled.
I don't know if I'll watch. Yeah, if I'll watch any more of that.
Probably not.
And then the whole like we want to have our cake and eat it too. Where we want to reference the Marvel universe, but we want to like acknowledge that it's actually a thing,
right?
Which it's is like, weird. Oh, these bullets are the only thing that could hurt Luke Cage. And I'm like, really? Have you not been looking around at all the crazy shit in your unit? Like, come on.
Well, it's just, so how much, because I am way behind on all that stuff. And the only thing I remember is that in Daredevil season 1, they talk about, quote, the incident.
Or whatever. They still mention it the exact same way.
Where it's like, when New York almost got blown to smithereens by eight giant aliens from another planet, and then
the
Iron
Avengers
Man came
movie.
And saved the day.
Yeah.
The first Avengers movie.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
The Attack of New York. Is like what they talk about in that movie. That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
Still. I mean, I haven't watched Daredevil season 3,
so
I don't know about that.
Okay, so here's the thing in the timeline. Are they behind then in the timeline?
No.
So, spoiler alert, I guess, for the Marvel MCU, how come people are there? If Thanos is all snappity snap.
Oh, like, they're definitely behind that.
So they're behind in the timeline.
Season 2 came out before?
Was there another major Earth event after the first Avengers and the
All
Avengers
sorts
stories?
Of them, which is why they create the
what happened
Sokovia
in Guardians
Accords,
of the Galaxy,
which is why,
what happened in Avengers,
Age of Ultron, and
Civil War.
I'm trying to remember which of it was like on.
You find out a major government agency is actually evil. Like, yeah, all kinds of
all
shit
the
happens.
Stuff with all the Avengers has been on Earth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Civil War and Sokovia and all that stuff.
I kind of like it being separate in a way.
Why?
You know, there's more because it's more like.
Well, then be separate.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally separate.
I like that Defenders and Iron Fist are all like local cops. And then the Avengers are like, you know,
the
feds,
FBI.
The feds. Yeah. And so.
That's fine.
You ask for a miracle, Theo. I give you the FBI.
B-I.
Yeah, I see them.
You know what else I watched recently? It was Goodfellas.
Oh, yeah?
Dude. Okay.
Such a goddamn good movie.
I just saw.
And Lindsay had never seen it. She's like, what did we just watch? I'm like, right?
Good shit.
Good shit. What did you just watch?
Yeah. No, I didn't. I just saw stinking Ray Liotta in like a commercial for quitting smoking, Chantix or something.
Yeah. No, really?
And I'm like, you're Ray fucking Liotta, dude. Like, what are you doing? And then I saw George Clooney in like a
Nescafe.
Yes. And I was like, what is George Clooney doing in this commercial? And Samantha goes, oh, he always does those for that company. And I'm like,
does he know somebody?
Like, why is he?
A favor?
Like, of all the brands, like, I could see him doing like a Citizen Echo watch or something, like something kind of high end. Right. But I'm like, you're peddling the lowest of the low instant coffee.
Because he can't possibly be making George Clooney money for a Nescafe commercial.
There's no way.
I imagine he probably is. I mean, I think that like these guys, especially like,
well, that their budget has to be insane.
Marketable stars. Their whole budget is the star. You know, yeah. I think you know that. Like, I know that they go to other countries and do these commercials in Japan. They pay them big bucks for it. And
nah, it's all CGI.
So, but like, it's not really like, Tom Cruise in that commercial.
I don't know. I just see like George Clooney as being this like higher end, classier type gent.
Yeah,
and
I don't mind him. Like, not that I have a say on what you do with your life, George Clooney.
Right.
But It's not weird to me to see him in commercials, but it's, I guess, weird, it's what for the commercial me to, because is for, he, maybe.
Because it's like if you see Tom Cruise in a commercial,
right?
You're like, you are a movie star.
I mean, that dude's crazy. He
like
can do whatever he
an
wants.
A-list.
Scientology is fine.
Tip of the top. A-list movie star.
Yeah.
And you're in a Nescafe commercial? Like,
I don't know.
It was just totally off-putting. I was like, what the fuck is he doing in this commercial?
This like, is bullshit.
It was weird. Like, it was just weird.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no,
the same thing with Ray Liotta. He's like, man, I quit. And like, sure,
I reacted the same way.
If he
is Ray
Liotta
in this commercial,
if he's like super legit about like, he maybe it did help him quit, and like he was like, yeah, I really want to be the spokesperson.
He used the product. He called the company, and they were like, fuck yeah,
right. If that's true, then great. But if not, I'm like, do you Ray Liotta? Like, let me watch Goodfellas and watch how many cigarettes you smoke in that movie.
Yeah, right.
It's like I can't take you seriously, Ray Liotta.
Oh,
like,
man.
That's true.
Yeah, anyway. But anyway, we digress a lot.
That's what we do. That's what we do.
But let's wrap this thing up, shall we? Like a nice little Christmas present in November. Just for you, Rich.
Thank you.
Christmas in November.
That's nice.
But thanks out there for listening, liking, subscribing.
Thank you.
Leaving rating reviews, all that stuff. All the stuff that I'm going to say in your ear in about 2 seconds in the outro that we play at the end of the episode. So I guess I don't really have to. I deleted that one. No, it's still there. I have both Tony and La Mesa outros on here.
Well, we can thank Rachel for calling.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thank Matt for calling extra.
Yeah.
So,
Matt doing double duty.
Anything that you guys hear that you want to chit-chat about, give us a phone call or let us know and we'll chit chat about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But for now,
we built this city.
Yeah.
Oh,
have you had to sing that yet?
My rehearsal's tomorrow night.
Nice.
My very first rehearsal.
Yeah. Do you know the words yet?
I don't think I know. I know the words.
I know how it starts.
You can do the whole thing.
I can probably do the whole song.
Yeah. Huh.
Knee deep in the hoopla. Something.
Okay, so you don't know the words.
Sounds good enough to me.
That's not my song.
You're getting
I don't have to sing that song. I have like 4 songs and I got them all down.
Just nice. Do it.
So, yeah.
A low vocal backing.
I'll be singing my part as
totally singing this city.
We built this city on rock and
we
roll.
We built this city.
It does sound glorious.
It does, doesn't it? Dude, so it's like, sorry, we keep trying to wrap up, but I listen to a football podcast called The Fantasy Footballers, and they're fantastic. I think I talked about them before, and they do another podcast called Spitballers. But anytime they say the number 55, they're like, oh, so-and-so rushed for 55 yards. They hit a drop.
I can't drop.
Right, so it's that song from Van Halen, but it's, or is it, is that a Van Halen song,
it's
or is
Sammy
it just
Hagar.
Sammy Hagar?
Yeah,
Sammy. So, but anyway, all they have is like my Built the City one. It's just him going 55, and so anytime
that's good.
Anytime they say 55, anything, they're like, oh, looks like Tom Brady had a 55% completion percent. 55, and it's like my favorite thing on earth.
I love
when
running,
they hit that
running
button.
Jokes are, I love
oh, it's
jokes.
So good.
That's good.
Oh, anyway. So with that being said, thanks out there for listening. This has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And I'm Rich.
And we'll see you on the couch.
Life's a binge. Bow, 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 bow,
bow. Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
What could I do? Okay, all right.